Good morning. It is Wednesday, October the 9th, in the year of our Lord 2024. I'm John David Walt, and this is your wake-up call. Let's begin here at midweek, re-upping our consecration, refreshing our consecration. Wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you. And we're praying in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's entry is entitled, The Desert of Shur, From the Wind to the Wilderness. Our text is Exodus chapter 15, verse 22. Hear now the word of the Lord. Then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went into the desert of Shur. For 3 days they traveled in the desert without finding water. The word of the Lord. Now consider this. And just like that, the Israelites descend from the Red Sea wind into the waterless wilderness. Say it isn't so. Let's be honest. We want a trouble-free life. We want our lives to be easier, not harder. We want to struggle less, not more. We expect that after a lifetime of cruel slavery and a cataclysmic deliverance like the Red Sea, we might be in for a nice extended vacation at the beach. Instead of getting the beach, the Israelites got the desert. For 3 days, they traveled in the desert without finding water. Yes, that's what the word says. But what if God's purpose is not to make our lives easier, but to make our souls stronger? This is the meaning of the wilderness. We want to get out of the wilderness and into the promised land. But what if the wilderness is God's plan? Not forever, but for a season. What if, in fact, the longer we resist the wilderness, the longer it will last? What if the sooner we submit to the Spirit's wilderness work in our lives, the sooner we enter into the destiny of God's promise for our lives? And this kind of thinking, my friends, is our problem. As I wrote the last paragraph, I wanted it to be true. But the Spirit chided me. I have chosen to leave it in order to demonstrate just how seductive this kind of thinking can be. We think the wilderness is the exception, a short break from an otherwise prospering life. What if the wilderness is actually the rule? What if the will of God in the wilderness is to teach us the true meaning of prosperity, that it does not rise and fall with the tides of the stock market or our health or any other set of myriad circumstances constantly befalling us. The real prosperity gospel is the Father blessing us through Jesus with us and the Holy Spirit filling us all the time, no matter what, come what may. It is through the fire that Jesus forges your soul with all his goodness and glory. The Apostle Paul shows us the outcome of a wilderness-tested soul. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. Whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, I can do all this through Him who gives me strength. That's Philippians 4:11-13. Let's ask the question again. What if the sooner we submit to the Spirit's wilderness work in our lives, the sooner we enter into the destiny of God's promise for our lives? See the flaw in this thinking? It's like I'm saying the sooner we get the lesson of the wilderness, the sooner we get out of it. Here's the real question. What if the destiny of God's promise for our lives is different than we thought? Though the prosperity gospel intends well, it misses the point. In the kingdom of God, prosperity is not tied to our temporal circumstances. Here's the lesson. God's promises and prosperity transcend our circumstances. Need or plenty, hungry or full, the secret is Christ in me. This is why the wilderness is the proving ground of the Holy Spirit, who takes our circumstances and translates them into the deep formation of Jesus Christ in us. And this is the meaning of the wilderness. The strengthening of our souls in the midst of struggle through the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to say what we all know in our bones but don't want to be true. The wilderness is the rule of life, not the exception. The sooner we can accept this truth, is not the sooner we can escape the wilderness, but the sooner we can embrace our destiny of true prosperity in Jesus in the wilderness. The old hymn says it best, "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, Thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." Let's pray our prayer for deliverance today. Lord Jesus, You are my deliverer. Indeed, the horse and the rider You have thrown into the sea. And yet I sense a deeper exodus rising up in me. I receive Your deliverance from the way my soul is tossed to and fro by my circumstances. If my life is smooth sailing, my soul is good, but sure as I run into stormy seas, my soul plunges into the depths. Deliver me from this thinness of soul and into the depths of the wellness of the presence of Jesus in me. Through the Holy Spirit. Come what may, no matter what, anyone can be happy when things are going well. Only Jesus can rejoice when conditions are collapsing. I desire the prosperity of Jesus in my deepest soul, who brings the land of promise smack dab in the middle of the wilderness. Yes, Lord, that, please. I know this will require some unlearning in me and some new training. I am here for it. It will be for my good, for others' gain, and for Your glory. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. as it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen. You know, every time we sing that, world without end, we're saying plan A. As we say, as it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be, we're saying plan A. Plan A. Jesus has taken us from plan B that we have fallen into back to plan A that he's never let go of. Our journal prompts today, how difficult will it be to shift your mindset from trying to escape the discomfort of the wilderness to embracing God's purpose and prosperity in the wilderness? Why is this? What must be unlearned? What is the new learning? We're going to sing in a minute. You know the song we're going to sing. I already tipped my hat. It is well. We're going to sing It Is Well. When peace like a river. It's number 344 if you want to find that. What has got to be unlearned? For me, I'll go first. What's got to be unlearned for me is this idea that the wilderness is the exception to life. I find that difficulties, troubles, hardships, all that, I'm perennially surprised by them for some reason. And they quickly knock me into a plan B mentality. And I'm just trying to avoid them. I'm trying to escape them. I'm trying to run from them or hide from them. Or yeah, there's any number of ways that I respond to wilderness conditions. And I'm learning what I have to really learn is that that's the wilderness is the rule. That's life. That's not the exception to life. It's actually the life. The exception are periods of time when everything is coming up roses and going well and looking good. And this is what I love about Paul's word. He's like, you know what? I've learned that those are the same place. Things going bad, things going good. He's like, I've found the secret, and it's contentment in Jesus. I've found a deeper way. I've found a better road. And it's being filled with the Holy Spirit. And it's learning that God doesn't make a way out of the wilderness. He actually makes a way in the wilderness. He actually puts streams in the desert. That's been my word for 2024, Isaiah 43, 18 and 19. He says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. Behold, he says, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the desert. That's when the promised land, actually the essence and the ethos of it, even though we're not all the way in the land, we're in the wilderness, but the land of promise can actually spring up its very essence in the wilderness. And that's Jesus. That's the way in the wilderness. He says, I am the way. And we keep thinking, at least I do, that if I can minimize my troubles and maximize my pleasures, that, you know, that's going to be the way. That's the unlearning I've got to do. All right, it's your turn. I've told the truth. Let's sing this incredible hymn. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul, with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. Hear these words now. Though Satan should buffet, though trial should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul, with my soul. It is well with my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul, with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. But Lord, 'tis for thee, for thy coming we wait. The sky, not the grave, is our goal. O trump of the angel, O voice of the Lord, blessed hope, blessed rest of my soul. It is well with my soul, with my soul. It is well with my soul. And Lord, haste the day when my face shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul, with my soul. It is well with my soul. Amen. You know, the interesting thing about that song, and I'd, if you got a minute today, go Google Horatio Spafford, It Is Well With My Soul. If you don't know the story of this hymn, it'll blow you away. Just take a few minutes and read up on it. It's amazing. But the beautiful thing about this, this is also the kind of learning and unlearning, is, you know, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. That's like, that's not conditioned on like how I'm feeling, my emotions, my present levels of fear or faith. it's whatever my lot, I'm learning. And it's not just positive thinking. It's because of all of the story that that hymn just went through. The bigger picture. It's you know, all the way from all of my sin in the past to the glorious future ahead. God's got this. God's got you. God's got me. It is well. That's deep. All right, gang, we got to go. It's Wednesday. We got to hit the hump day. We got to get over it. He's already over it with us, for us, in us, and through us. Let's get our seeds. I'll see you on the field for the awakening. I'm J.D. Walt.
We hope that today's entry challenged and encouraged you. And thanks for listening to The Wake Up Call, powered by Seedbed. Be sure to share this with a friend, leave us a rating, and subscribe wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts. Find out more and join the movement by visiting our website at seedbed.com/wakeupcall.